You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with the heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
I send greetings from New York City. I got off the plane last night in Birmingham, and it was cold. I thought I got off the wrong plane. And I was like, what's happening? My name is Peter Ong. It's an honor to be here today as part of your Lenten series. And today's passage is going to be coming from the book of Matthew 3, verse 13 to 17. And it's a very familiar passage of the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now. But thus is his fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am very well pleased. This is the reading of God's word. When we think about life, and I don't know what you're bringing in to this place, and those online, I don't know what you're bringing in. But I think if we're really honest with ourselves, we're bringing in with a lot of voices that are like verdicts. And I think there's things that we do throughout life. I'm turning 53 this year, pretty young, depending on who you ask, or pretty old, depending on who you ask. But I think I bring in with this idea that there's these verdicts. And one of the underlying questions that we all have is, am I enough? And that question kind of transcends time. If we're looking back in our past, we think, was I enough in the past? Or as we look to the future, the question is, will I be enough? What will my life be? Was it enough? And presently, we also ask that question, am I enough now? So you have this kind of time pressure of these verdicts. And when we ask that question of am I enough, a lot of times dictate when we look at others, when we see them. Are they enough? I remember when I was first attracted to my wife, we were dating. I was asking God, I said, God, show me, is she enough for me? And I said, just show me, God, that she's a godly woman, that she can journey with me in ministry. And she did a triathlon in New York City. And the last stretch of the triathlon is the running part. And I was waiting, and I saw her, and she was walking up this hill, this radiant, beautiful woman, and our eyes met. And you know what she did when our eyes met? She did this. If this is on audio, I'm pointing up. And I thought to myself, this woman's amazing. She's pointing to Jesus. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for that sign that she's good enough for me. And then after the race was over, I talked to her and I said, you know, I love being here, but you know, the moment that really was amazing was when our eyes caught and we saw each other. She said, do you remember that moment? She goes, yeah. And then you said, you were pointing to Jesus, and I was so moved. And then she looked perplexed. She goes, no, I was not pointing to Jesus. I was telling you I had one more lap. And then my heart sank. But then my heart rose. I said, God, thank you for giving me such an honest woman. She's so honest and godly. And we have that internal conversation and external. And here's this passage. Here's this incredible passage that before Jesus did a single thing. Now you have to understand, if you know the context, he hasn't done any ministry. This was the ushering of his ministry. And then, you know, right after, he goes into the desert to be tempted. before he did a single thing, what does the Holy Spirit declare to him? Behold, right? This is my beloved Son, for whom I am well pleased. Before a single act, the Father wanted to declare to him, this is my beloved Son, for whom I am well pleased. And there's so much at stake in the midst of ministry, in the midst of following Jesus, where we have all these voices, all these things that are declaring to us, hey, are you enough? Are you enough in whatever role that you play? But we forget that the first declaration to you, before you do a single thing, that if we're clothed in Christ and we come before the throne knowing that we're co-heirs with Jesus, that he's saying, declare to you the same thing. You're my beloved child, for whom I am well pleased. And I know that in certain circles, especially in my tradition, we love the doctrine of justification, of atonement. But one of the things we often miss that is so much of the New Testament is our conversion from enemies. Yes, we're forgiven, but we're also adopted. The doctrine of adoption is one of the most profound things, because the Old Testament, even though he was the father of the nations and father of the Israelites, they were not bold enough to call him father. But in the New Testament, what we're taught to pray, how are we taught to pray? Amen. Our Father. And the Father is looking at his Son, not this is my Son, which would have been enough. This is my beloved. And I think when we're haunted with the idea of am I enough, is that question over and over again, is, am I beloved? And that's why I love the song Before the Throne, because there's a plea to God that before anything, as I come before you, an appeal, but before you come to me, your appeal, I'm your Abba Father. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray. I am your Father who finds you beloved and for whom I am well pleased. And that is one of the doctrines that is so key to the New Testament, is this idea that you've been adopted and now you're a child. Atonement and justification are powerful because it's like, oh yes, there's ransom to be paid. I was an enemy of God and you're forgiven. And my children always ask me for forgiveness because they're sinful, horrible children. And it's very easy to say, you're forgiven, now go. You're forgiven, I'll pay the penalty for what you broke. But the gospel in this dynamic is like, you're not only forgiven, you're beloved, and I'm well pleased with you. And the gospel is taking forgiveness even deeper to say, I want to embrace you and come before me as my child that's beloved and I'm well pleased with you. One of the things that is so dangerous about, even in Christian circles, we might believe this in our head, but we act as if it don't. And what's very unique about our Christian faith, that we can sin in our obedience. That in our pursuit of obedience, we want to be able to manipulate God to find me loved and find me well pleased. And you'll do all these things, both magnificent and small, to manipulate and do things and basically try to bring up and offer God my righteousness. Look what I've done. Look what I've sacrificed. Here. In denying that, God's saying, no, the dynamic is that the righteousness is not that you give to me, but it's what I give to you. What I impute upon you. And that's why in the book of Revelation, what happens? The city of God. Do we rise up? No, the city of God comes down. One theologian says it's like grace. And we're just like sunflowers and we're grass. We often try to run around, try to grab, and grace is like rain. And we run around trying to just grab more rain. But we're like grass and flowers. It just comes down and we're just there to receive. And this is the battle of our hearts. And this is what I'm presenting to you. And this statement was a profound one, and that Jesus did this incredible work. But what's really more important is that do we believe it? And I end with this kind of perplexing passage that's always stunned me, from the book of Hebrews. And it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that was set before him. Commentator says, is it the joy that he was returning back to the Father? He had that. Was it the joy that he accomplished the mission and he was obedient to his Father? Yes, possibly. But commentator said that joy was directed because he accomplished his mission, because he made us all children of God, and you were the joy that was set before him. I have a dear friend who's a pastor. He says every time we take communion, when they take the communion, they said, you're the joy that was set before, and that he endured his broken body for you. And that's why when he went to the cross, before he went to the cross, the moment right after this moment, he went into the desert and he was tempted. And you know the story. He was tempted by the devil. And he could have given in. He said, but all those things that the devil was offering him, he was going to get anyway. But it wasn't under his authority. He wanted to have those things through the authority that he has given to his Father, and that came through the cross. He had to go to the cross. Why? Because of the joy that's set before him. Am I enough? That will haunt you. It still haunts me. I'm celebrating my 18th anniversary with my wife. And there are days when I really do feel that she could have gotten better. Even though I'm amazing. I'm an amazing husband on paper. I go to spaces. People, oh, you're amazing. My church, they all think I'm amazing. But there are days I'm haunted where I'm like, oh, she could have gotten better. And there's days I still struggle. Am I enough for my kids? Am I enough for this church? Am I enough to preach in front of you? But then I'm reminded and grounded that when my Father looks at me, he said, this is my beloved Son for whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. God, we're so driven by so many things, and I don't know what we're carrying into this room. We're probably carrying a lot of verdicts that has been overwhelming, that's haunted us. And there's some of us who are in a place of desolation where that question is actually a very dark valley for some of us. And I thank you for the consolation that we have in you, that when we come before you as a child, as Abba, Father, we come before you. We cannot imagine the length and the depth and breadth of your love for us. That you declare definitively to us that we are your beloved and that you're well pleased. And how do we know that? because your son was forsaken. In that moment when he cried out, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Even though he was to be beloved, he forsake it so that we can be beloved. And then when he rose again and we came into the beauty and the power of resurrection, we joined with him in that beauty and the resurrection so that that declaration could be final to us. And I pray that we hold on to that in the midst of our desolation and find the consolation, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.